turn in our Bibles to the book of James. And this will be the sort of the linchpin verse for our discussions this week. Just a little administrative note. Again, we want to conduct ourselves with a certain degree of courteousness and respect. And typically, sisters, we ask if you have a question that you write it down and pass it to someone who can verbalize it for you. We're trying to not cause any offense and complications. Just to get that out of the way. But we want everyone to be engaged and give some thought to what is being set before us. But our key verse is going to be found in James chapter 1, verse 27. And I'm going to read the verse and sort of introduce the exercise for the week, and then Brother Sam's going to kind of guide us through today's discussion. Verse 27 of James chapter 1 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world," or to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Our exercise this week is that key verse, that key phrase at the end of the verse, unspotted from the world. And the challenge that's before us is what we're going to discuss today is, well, what do we mean by worldliness? I grew up in an environment in which there was one definition for worldliness, and only to discover that there is a more important definition than simply the way I was brought up to think, that worldliness was the places you went and the things that you did, or you weren't supposed to do, or not supposed to go. We want to take a little look at it a little deeper this week and discover what is the world and the world's influence as it exerts itself upon all of us because we are in it. And it exerts itself upon us in the way that we think. And so today our desire is to just get this out the way. What does it mean, worldliness, the world? What is it that we're called to be? What is Christ in his victory at Calvary's cross done in delivering us from some of the things that are in the world? On Tuesday, with the help of the Lord, is we are in the world for what purpose? And so on Tuesday's exercise, we want to take up the matter of the fact that God has called us to live in this world to serve. And that'll be on Tuesday. And on Wednesday and Thursday, probably the most difficult 2 days that we're going to be together, we want to have straight conversation to young men. Because as men, we are influenced by the world and its ideology and some of the ideas. And we want to talk about God's call to biblical manhood. And likewise on Thursday, the table switch, and we want to talk about that with regards to women. The world has put out a model, put out a sample example of what they think a woman ought to be. And we want to just be reminded what the scripture tells us, and so we're going to have straight talk with women. And then on Friday, we want to find how we can overcome. How we can overcome from and resist the influence and the ideology of the world and the times in which we live, so that we might walk in this world the way God intends for us to walk, to be what God intends for us to be light in this dark world. So with that as the basis of our discussions for the week, we start today with just laying the groundwork of what is the world and what do we mean by remaining unspotted from it.
Thank you, Brother Mark. It's a reason for having people sit like this, because I'm standing here and I want people to be behind me, okay? I just want to start by saying this. I know that there are some teachers in the audience. In fact, how many people do teach for a living in this audience? Good. Normally, those of us who teach, when you go into a classroom or a lecture hall or whatever, typically you are pretty, what should I say, familiar with the information and the content. You have mastered it at some point in your life. You have mastered it. You pass exams, right? I mean, most of us who teach, you have mastered that material. If you were to be examined on it, you would probably get 100%. Most of the time, you know everything or pretty much everything about the lecture material. And if some person asks you a question you don't know, he says, I don't know, but that doesn't happen too often. If he is at a lower level. Today, however, as I come to this material, when they come to this, I am not coming as a teacher. Because the teacher, as I just said, should be the master of that material. I come as a fellow learner. Right? I mean, I'm dead serious when I say this. I'm coming to learn like everybody else. We are here to learn. And I am learning with you. With you. I'm not here as a person who says, I've mastered this, and I'm about to teach you something that you don't know. So that's, I just want to start with that note. Because in going through this, as we had this discussion before, this is challenging. As I read this and I thought about it, in fact, when Mark first came up with the outline, he said, oh, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. Because it is challenging to us. Let's turn, I'm going to start off with this. I'm going to start, when did it come about? When did it happen? Then we're going to look at a number of ways in which the word world is used in the scriptures. Right? In the English version of the Bible, the word world appears, and based upon a source that I've used, it could come under five different headings. You may have others, but I'm just going to use that particular one to start with. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 and then 4 first. Just a few comments there. This is stuff that we already know, portions that we already know very well. And as we go through this, when we get into some scriptures, I'm going to ask for some help in reading some of this. So I'm going to read Genesis. I'm going to start us off. Genesis chapter 3. An observation that I made in my own reading. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. We know of the fall. I'm going to read from verse 20. We knew Adam and Eve committed sin. This is towards the end of that. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of silk, of skin rather, and clothed them. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. I repeat that verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden. That's pretty clear. So he drove out the man. He placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So that's it. Man has been put out of the Garden of Eden.